Well, good morning. If you're still eating over there, no worries. Just finish. You'll be good. I want to let you know that I talked to Jesse just a couple minutes ago, and he says he's feeling stronger this Sunday than he did last Sunday. And I've been talking to him every day this week, and he's been feeling better and better every single day. So thank the Lord. Thank you for your prayers. Thanks for keeping him in your heart. He greets all of you, and I said, we send a big greeting to you as well, brother. So just know that hopefully he will be back soon. Amen, Jerry? We just realize how important he is, right? Amen.
But Jerry, we thank you so much.
We really do. We appreciate it. And Chantel. She comes early with him. Yep. Thank you, guys. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're doing a new thing in all of our hearts. Lord, even if we don't know it, Lord, I know that you are. I know that this is a day, Lord, that has been ordained, Lord, from the as it says, predestined, Lord, before the foundations of the earth for all of us. And Father, we ask that we would be able to walk in the newness of life that you have for us today. I pray, Lord, that there would be no distractions and no hindrances. There would be nothing that the enemy has placed in our way that would keep us from seeing your glorious face today. And Lord, that we would experience, Lord, your love, Lord, on a deeper level. Lord, that we would experience, Lord, the depths of who you are and experience you in your fullness. We just thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You can stand if you want or just remain seated.
I ran away, your love never fails.
never fails us. Thank you, Jesus.
that was leading it, he said, God, you've not only acquitted us, like, you know, found us not guilty, but you've accepted us. And sometimes I think we live an acquitted life, you know, not found guilty, but we don't live an accepted life. And so I got to thinking about a prisoner that's been set free, a prisoner that has been incarcerated, that comes out, and how he's been acquitted. You know, he's out now, but everybody knows he's been in, and everybody treats him like he's been in. And how we, as a people of God, we also need to have the heart of not just acquitting, but accepting. And so we need to remember that we're not just found not guilty, we're also accepted in the Beloved, like accepted by Him. Like, reminds me of my son-in-law's dad that just recently passed away. He had so many kids, and some of them were his naturally born biological children, and some were stepkids. And this is what every one of the kids said about their dad, even the stepkids. I was never treated as a step. I was always treated as his. And that's what God does for us. We're his, you guys. We are his. And we need to not only live the life that we are acquitted, but we are accepted in him. He loves us so much. So as we move into this segment of worshiping, I just want you to remember that all those things you're singing to him, he's just accepting every one of them. Like, he's just gathering them because he's just longed for this moment with us, this time with us. And he's ready to just pull them all in and just say, oh yeah, that's my Zeke down there. He's loving me. You know, that's my Phyllis. She's adoring me today. So let's live not just acquitted, but accepted. Let's sing not just acquitted, whew, made it, but let's sing accepted as he's accepted us too. Amen?
Forgive. I'm
you, Lord, that fear no longer is what drives us. But Lord, knowing your love, and that we're your children, and that we're fully accepted, fully received, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you do not count, Lord, our transgressions against us, Lord. But you count the blood that Jesus shed for us. And Lord, we receive, Lord, that fresh covering of Jesus' sacrifice in our lives again today. We thank you, Lord, that you took our place, that you were our substitution, Lord. It should have been us, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord, that your love was so great that you gave yourself. You gave your Son, Father. We just thank you for that. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day.
Mic was on and I turned it off, so it got left on last week. Oops. The battery goes, we know why. I think it goes into automatic sleep. Sorry, Jerry, about that moment. Always hate it as a sound man or up there and things are going different than they're supposed to. It's like, not sure what it is. Praise the Lord. Are you looking for something, hon? She'll be right here. Okay, good. I'll get the mic for her. So let's just take... Now, I know that you guys are going to be making some waffles after church. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. For those of you who weren't able to make it early, we have a fantastic... I mean, not just waffles. There's like there's chocolate chips. There's blueberries. They might still be left. I don't know. Strawberry syrup. There's coffee over there, so let's just thank Zeke and Tara and the whole family for doing that. Thank you, guys.
Honestly, best waffle I have ever eaten, honestly.
Gluten-free waffle, too,
yeah.
For us, yeah. Yeah, Zeke, you can make waffles for us anytime. It's like, Zeke was saying, like, yeah, my family doesn't like me making waffles that much anymore. I said, well, Zeke, you can bring them on down here anytime. We'll take them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Guess what he's doing in his truck
with him? Picking up coffee.
Making waffles, huh?
Coffee run and waffles.
That's, you have to be careful what you have to be careful what you say, Zeke, because people will remember and people will say, oh, Zeke likes making this stuff. Which you do. I know you do, so... So this morning, we're going to... Oh, there it is. We're going to talk about the power of the tongue. And this is not like the power that the tongue has to, like, bend steel or something like that. I know some people do tricks with their tongue, but this is the power that your tongue has to change the course of your life or the course of others' life. And so I'm going to be using quite a few scriptures from Proverbs and a few others. And I think it's easy to take for granted our words because we're just so used to just saying things. We're so used to not considering what's coming out of our mouth when we say stuff. Mm-hmm. And whether that be, you know, comments about others or comments about ourselves. I mean, if it was, I'm so stupid, I do this all the time. I mean, you know, we have these you know, things that we say that really I don't think God would say about us, right? Did you? Oh, are we supposed to have kids go down? Oh, do we need to have kids go down or we're good? Okay, we're good. Okay. Paulo, we're good. Yeah. He likes hanging up here, man. He's like,
he likes us.
Like deep. Yeah. Okay.
He really likes us.
So, the power of the tongue. So yeah, we're going to talk about what it means to control our words. So let's look at Proverbs 18:21. This is like the scripture that you'll probably hear a lot of people quote. It's one of those that when someone else is quoting it to you and you're hearing them say it to you, you want to tell them shut up, because it's like,
please.
Well, I'm sorry.
Say the shut up.
Oh, you want to say be quiet, please. Close your mouth.
If you're doing this, I want you to do this.
Oh, okay. But you know what I mean? It's like you just want to say, don't say that. I mean, because it's one of those deals that when someone quotes it to you, it means that you're out of bounds, and it's like they're trying to correct you. And sometimes it can be difficult. But Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power. Were you going to read it?
No,
power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, what does that mean? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, it's pretty clear that one part of our tongue, or one way our tongue could go, our words could go, is to bring life. Another way our words can go is to bring death. And so how we frame our words, how we communicate our words, whether about ourselves or about others, will cause us to eat the fruit of it.
Whether good or bad.
Whether good or bad. I think what that means is that, you know, you can have a tree that has really, really bad fruit, and you can have a tree that has really, really good fruit. And so it means that do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that so shall we reap. I think we actually talked about that a little bit on Wednesday nights, didn't we, guys? So death and life. This literally means death and life. This is the word death, and this is the word life. And it's hard to believe that our words could bring death or they could bring life. Because, you know, how many times have you said a word like, you know, oh, I just wish, oh, no, maybe you don't say this. I got to watch what I'm going to say now, because it's like I've got kids here. So, but, you know, you say things about somebody that I wish they were, and you don't see it happen. Or you tell somebody that they are
this.
Yeah. They are not all that they're cracked up to be. They're not, or that you hate them. You tell somebody that you hate them. And the thing is, you don't see results right away, but you don't realize that it's starting to do something in the spirituals, in their heart and in their life.
A story about that is our two granddaughters that live here in Yakima. The youngest one is three. Her name's Reagan. And they had just gotten a new puppy about 5 months ago. And our son loved the puppy, but our daughter-in-law did not love the puppy. And the puppy's name is Ruger. Okay, so just one day, just a few weeks ago, 3-year-old Reagan comes walking in, and she says to her mom, "I hate Wooga just as much as you." Because mom was saying, "I hate Ruger, I hate Ruger." And so here's this 3-year-old saying, "I hate Wooga just as much as you." Like, I hated
because
him.
Because he was chewing up everything.
He chewed up her helmet. Yeah. Or her sister's helmet, or somebody's helmet outside, because they left it laying around. But she already didn't like Ruger, but she hated her as much as mommy did now. So see, even kids have a way of soaking in stuff.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
Or even what about like with technology now? Like when you're texting, you know, you don't have the
inflections.
Yeah,
and
you could be texting something one way, and then whoever's reading it
take it a total different way.
Yeah.
That's why my husband said, if you ever really want to talk to somebody, do not text someone.
Or something important. I mean, if you're giving
important.
Him an address, or you're trying to, you know.
So you get the Marco Polo.
Get your Marco Polo out. There you go.
Well, and because anybody can take, like, the letter K. Like, if you're having conversation with somebody and you kind of feel it's going wrong in a text, if someone texts you K, you're like, you're reading into that. They're shortening the okay, and what does that mean? Like, you know.
And it also depends on your frame of mind.
And there, yeah, exactly.
If you're in a.
If it's important, don't text.
Yeah.
Call.
They say, believe me, I've ever had a bad job.
Cheyenne's like,
they say 83% of all arguments start by misconstruing the tone of someone's voice. Now imagine doing that through a text message.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's because of you.
Yeah.
It's like, and then you got to adjust, you got to get mad, then you got to understand why I'm mad, then you got to call them, and then you got to be like,
and then figure out, and I didn't mean that.
Yeah. Yeah. So text messaging, if you're text messaging and it's important, just stop and call.
Yeah. If there are issues of the heart, do not, you know, in other words, you're trying to convey something to someone that would be considered maybe, you know, either a correction or a comment or a criticism.
Don't email it either.
Yeah. Just call them.
Yeah.
Just get in their face.
Face to
That's
face.
What you want to do. Yeah. Okay. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, this could be multiple ways taken. It could mean that someone is blessing the city just by their presence and the way that they're functioning and acting and living in the city. But because of this proverb, I would say that it's more likely that the person who's blessing their city are blessing the city with their words. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying Yakima's just, a dive or whatever. I mean, I've heard some comments about Yakima. We would say, no, Yakima is an amazing place to live. Yakima is
Palm Springs of Washington.
Palm Springs
Hello?
Of Washington. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Another thing, it's not just like a city, because I'm thinking about like church.
Uh-huh.
Or mm-hmm. work environment.
That's very true.
Family.
You're stealing my words, but that's excellent. No, you're good.
A lot of
but it's not making it on there.
A lot of yeah. dissension that starts in churches or at workplaces, school.
Yeah.
You know, those things start by
the mouth.
Those words. Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, and I can understand when somebody's upset about something, but when you take that upset and you hang on to it and you tell other people about
you spread it instead of going to the source.
Concerns, or you don't talk to the people that it concerns in a
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
No, that's good. It's not my sermon. It's our sermon, and I have asked for people to share. I'm just saying I was going to bring that point up, and you said it already. For those of you who didn't hear, Becky was saying that it's not just a city, but it's our places where we live, our places yeah. that we have our habitation, whether it be at work, you know, sometimes you spend a lot of hours at work or school or with other family members at times. It's what can we do to bless them and not bring down them?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it says that it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. So this was King Solomon, who, how many know that King Solomon was gifted with a gift of wisdom? And wisdom beyond his own capacity to know things. So when he usually said things, there usually was extreme truth and wisdom mm-hmm. in them. So Proverbs 13:3. Listen to this one. He who guards his mouth. You guys have seen the pictures of the monkeys. You know, I see no evil here. Speak no evil. Guards his mouth, preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. So I think what this is saying here is that we can just roll with our words and not think about what we're saying. And the place is that when we do that, most of the time, if we're just letting our words just flow like a river, mm-hmm. especially around anybody, that they're most likely we're going to slip with destructive words.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say something that we'll regret. Isn't there like anything worse than saying something that you wish you could put back in your mouth, but the damage is already out there? It's already mm-hmm. done. It's like, oh man, how is this happening? How did I say that? And it's like all the asking for forgiveness and the flowers or the emails ask, you know, saying you're sorry or, you know, buying somebody a dinner, whatever, doesn't always make up for it because our words carry weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, Friday was a really rough day for me, and Saturday morning, I had to apologize to my husband because I know that I was grumpy, and I know the grumpy was coming out of my mouth. And I just had to, I went to bed with this mind frame. I am so glad today is over. I'm so glad I'm it's done. And I just laid down and went to bed and got up the next morning. Then I felt bad. And then I said, you know, please forgive me because I know that I was grumpy. I had a reason for being grumpy, but that didn't change the fact that he got the brunt end of it. And so we have to be very careful that even if there's good reason for our grumpiness or our feeling off, we have to still, even in those times, be very careful that we guard what we say, because life or death can affect somebody else by the way that we say what we say.
Amen. This is what David said about all of this. He said, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Now, I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was, he was thinking like an angel would keep him from saying things. But he understands, the king understands the gravity of his words. And he wanted to make sure that the Lord would help him with his speech. Because he knew that if he said the wrong thing, it could make or break somebody.
Right.
Or even make or break the kingdom. Looks like you want to say something. You're like, okay. How about this one? Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I think that's pretty clear. Like the king said, you know, Lord, set a guard, set a watch over my tongue. And this is Solomon saying, whoever can guard his mouth and his tongue will keep his soul out of trouble. It's powerful. Let's get a little bit into the New Testament and see what it has to say. Ephesians 4:29. Now this is Paul, and he's communicating in this set of scriptures, kind of some admonitions. He's encouraging them to do different things. And within this admonition, he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, this, I looked this up years ago. This corrupt word could be the same thing as sewage.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't let sewage proceed out of your mouth. Just get that picture right now. And how many have heard people say things to them, or you've said something, you go, that is just raw sewage right there. That's bad. But the thing is, let what is good come out of our mouth and what is necessary to edify. And edification means to build someone else up, not to tear them down. To elevate them in who they are. How many like it when people encourage you? How many like it when you're doing something that, you know, you're especially maybe not that comfortable with, and they encourage you, and you feel like, okay, maybe I can do this now because they've edified you. Instead of saying, wow, that was like loser right there, dude. That was horrible. And it's like, I'm not touching this again. Vicki, I can see you like...
Yeah, well, me and Nancy and Tim and Eric and us were having a conversation one day when they were in Redding, California. And Nancy said, Bill Johnson has a brother.
Uh-huh.
And she was coming under the guidance of his brother for a program that he had.
Oh, okay.
And she said, and the only reason why is because he thought one thing about her until he saw something and realized she was a pretty powerful little woman that he didn't expect. You know, because Nancy's calm and quiet. And then when she used to be, she's like right there. So, and he said, and he's no holds barred, white or black. There's no middle ground with him. And he said, and that's because you cannot have pure water and sewage coming out of the same pipe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
that's a good analogy. So pure water and sewage out of the same pipe.
Sometimes, you know, we can be chameleons. You know, we can be one way with certain people and another way when we get around other people. And this is where the pure water and sewage.
Right.
He said sewage, and we call that conversation. And Nancy said it. Like you, like, oh. Yeah.
That's true. So we want to make sure our words build others up and that it imparts a grace. And grace is the ability for supernatural empowerment to come to the hearer. Mm-hmm. In other words, that they receive something that they can say, wow, God can work through me in this. You know, God can help me in this. You know, case in point, husbands and wives, you know, a lot of times it's easy to look at your spouse and, you know, and realize that they don't do things the exact same way you do. And sometimes you feel it's your job necessary to point out those things that they need to improve on. Especially gets delicate when it's coming to the things of God. You know, like, why don't you read your word more or something like that. That's not necessarily going to impart grace to the hearer. What will impart grace to the hearer is when you find the things that they do and edify them with those mm-hmm. things that they do well, mm-hmm. not the things that you wish they would do different. Because keep in mind, they're an individual, and they're going to do things mm-hmm. as they've been designed to do. James 1:26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, and this is not the bad kind of religious, this is the pure and undefiled religion, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So James was a hardcore guy, and he basically said, listen, if you can't bridle your tongue, your religion, your faith is useless, because you're going to be doing things to people through your tongue, through your words, that are not the character of Christ. James was hardcore. Speaking of James, and speaking of what you mentioned earlier, we'll get to that again. it says here in James 3:2-12, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So James is basically saying, if you can control what you have coming out of your mouth, you're able to control and bridle your whole body. Mm-hmm. And I think of this, guarding your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. That's what it's meaning. Usually it's what's inside of us that comes out of us. You know, you can go around somebody and maybe, you know, meet them and, you know, shake their hand and see them someplace for, you know, 5 minutes. And they can put on their persona, that's their 5 minute persona. But you sit down with them for 2 hours someplace, guess what? Within that 2 hours, most of the time, you're going to know where those people stand. You're going to start hearing words that they're going to hear, attitudes that come out of them. You know, unless they're just really wise, and they know that even when a fool's silent, he's considered wise. You know, but most of the time, after a while around people, if you've noticed this, especially if it's big, they start loosening up and they'll start talking, and you start finding out how that individual thinks and usually how they live. And so if we can control our words, and we've controlled what's come inside of us to produce those words, we can bridle our whole body. We can keep from being in a difficult situation. The proverb says, from destruction. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and when we turn their whole body. Then it says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You guys remember the fire in Oregon? Was just started by a couple of kids, I guess, and with a firecracker. And, you know, that burned for over a month and, I mean, devastated, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of acres. I don't know exactly how many, a lot. And all the resources, it didn't take much to start it. It just took, because of the conditions were right. And our tongue, when in the right conditions, can start a whole forest fire of problems. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the guys are really quiet, so I'm just wondering if it's like...
Yeah. You ever think, yeah.
Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. James, what are you saying here? The tongue is a fire, and the tongue is set, is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Now, of course, this is a tongue that is not being governed by the Holy Spirit. This is a tongue that is not allowing the temperance of God and His Word to watch what you say. And if you don't, it says that it's as if you have a fire of very much so hell that's driving it. It says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So if no man can tame the tongue, then is this one of those deals that you just say, well, what's the use? I can't tame it. How am I going to do anything about it? Well, guess what? The good thing is that the Holy Spirit, what's that? What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking, if you can't tame them, join them.
If you can't tame them, join them, yeah.
That's what it sounded like you said, sorry.
But the point being is like, but no man can tame the tongue.
Right.
It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But I believe with the Holy Spirit, I believe with the temperance and the character and nature that God gives us, we can tame our tongue. Because we can have coming out of us what's going into
us. Because it's God in us.
Because it's God in us. There's no way that a man himself can bridle his tongue. I remember before I was saved, my mouth was just always sarcastic, cynical, just very mean and harsh. I mean, I've told some people that before, and some people that knew me before described me and said, that's not the same guy. I mean, literally, when I became a Christian, God cleaned up what came out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful because, as it says here in verse 9, with it we can bless our God and Father, and with it we can curse men who have been made in the similitude of God or in the image of God. Isn't it something we can bless God with our tongue and say, oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. I'm just so thankful for you being in my life. And then we can turn to someone and say, you dirty, rotten, you know, and just treat them with contempt. And they're made in God's image. You know, Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And so that didn't just mean give them a cold drink of water or feed them or clothe them. That meant also when we do bad things to our brothers and sisters, we're doing it to Jesus. So just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. That's like one of those things that, oh, that's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God when you think about it. And it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So out of the same mouth, blessing God and cursing our brothers. What does it say at the very beginning? Mm-hmm. Death and life, blessing and cursing are in the power of the tongue. And then if we look here, he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and sewage water? You were ahead of the curve again. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. And we'll end with this. Matthew 12. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Doesn't say anything about the tongue right yet, does it? And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So you could picture whatever that means. But if you look at verse 36, it's telling you what it means. But I say to you that for every idle word you may speak, you will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, or the things that are coming out of your heart, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. So this, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. That's like, that could be a lot of accounting. mm-hmm. If we're saying that every idle word that we speak, we have to give an account for, I mean, that could be a long process for some of us. That's why I'm looking forward to not being the one that is having to give account for my words because of Jesus' sanctified body, right, and that I've received his blood and that I've received his forgiveness and that, you know, God's not counting my stuff against me anymore. So I don't know who that applies to. I pray it doesn't apply to me, because if I have to give account for every bad thing that I ever did, then it's going to be, people are going to be in line waiting right behind me. But then it says, for your words you will be justified. And justified means that you have been like acquitted for what you did. Mm-hmm. And by your words you will be condemned. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind that death and life, that the power to build up and the power to tear down, the power to give a encouraging word to someone's heart and a discouraging word to their heart, all comes from your tongue. Mm-hmm. Yep, Cameron.
So I just have a fun thing that I remember justified by. Just justified means like, so justified means just as if I never sinned.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Acquitted. Yep, just as if I'd never sinned. Yep, thank you.
Something to read.
Mm-hmm. It's entitled, One Small Voice Can Start a Revolution. In 2004, Victor, and I'm going to slaughter this name, I'm sorry, because I don't know how to pronounce it very well, Yushchenko stood for the presidency of the Ukraine. Vehemently opposed by the ruling party, Yushchenko's face was disfigured and he almost lost his life when he was mysteriously poisoned. This was not enough to deter him from standing for presidency. On the day of the election, he was comfortably in the lead. The ruling party, not to be denied, tampered with the results. The state-run television station reported, "Ladies and gentlemen, we announced that the challenger, Viktor Yushchenko, has been decisively defeated." In the lower right-hand corner of the screen, a woman by the name of Natalia Dmitryk was providing a translation service for the deaf community. As the news presenter regurgitated the lies of the regime, Natalia refused to translate them. "I am addressing all the deaf citizens of the Ukraine," she signed. "They are lying, and I'm ashamed to translate those lies. Yushchenko is our president." The deaf community sprang into gear. They text messaged their friends about the fraudulent results, and as news spread of Natalia's act of defiance, increasing numbers of journalists were inspired to likewise tell the truth. Over the coming weeks, the Orange Revolution occurred as a million people wearing orange made their way to the capital city of Kyiv. Is that right, Kyiv?
Yeah.
I think Kyiv. Demanding a new election. The government was forced to meet their demands. A new election was held, and Viktor Yushchenko became president. Philip Yancey writes, "When I heard the story behind the Orange Revolution, the image of a small screen of truth in the corner of the big screen became for me an ideal picture of the church." Hold on, got to go to the next slide. Of the church, where are we? Of the church. We as a church do not control the big screen. When we do, we usually mess it up. Go to any magazine rack or turn on the television and you see a constant message. What matters is how beautiful you are, how much money or power you have. Similarly, though, the world includes many poor people. They rarely make the magazine covers or the news shows. Instead, we focus on the super rich. Our society is hardly unique. Throughout history, nations have always glorified winners, not losers. Then, like the sign language translator Natalia, in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, along comes a person named Jesus, who says, in effect, don't believe the big screen, they are lying. It's the poor we are to bless, not the rich. Mourners are blessed too, as well as those who hunger and thirst, and the persecuted. Those who go through life thinking we're on top end up on bottom, and those who go through life feeling they're on the bottom end up on top. After all, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And the reason this struck me so powerfully is that being able to speak a word, she's down in this little corner signing to people that understood, and sign language is called a national language because it's the same all over the whole world. It's universal. She's able to speak without even saying a word and bringing life back to a nation. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have so much power in us. We have so much that God has placed within us. And are we taking the time to say, I mean, you guys, I can't tell you, there's this one guy, I don't know how many of you guys frequent Walmart up at 64th, but we go out there and there's this little old man that stands there. And as you're walking out, he looks at you and this is what he says, have a good day, bless you. Every single time. He says, bless you. How much life is he giving to every person that walks out that door? And I always am, I make it a thing within me to say, bless you back. God bless you for what you're doing. And I'm so thankful he's standing there, and he could be just checking off the minutes until his 8 hours is served. But he's looking at every person that walks by him as an opportunity for them to say, bless you. Who's going to bless? Well, God brings blessings. Do you see what I'm saying? We have so much power. And saying bless you to somebody can change their whole day, their whole life.
Yeah.
That translator down there in the corner, she changed a country.
Transformed it, yeah.
She did. What, Tara, were you going to say?
I love it that he doesn't just say bless you, he says God bless you.
Yes, he does. God bless you. He says God bless you.
I never checked my receipt either.
And he doesn't check my receipt either. He looks down and he just says, God bless you. Have a good day.
So when I worked at the Terrace Heights a couple years ago, when I said he's my guy, I mean he's my guy. He used to be the one I used to spend my lunch with.
Like, aww.
Like, he's a cool dude. He almost got fired for that.
Oh, did he?
Because, I mean, well...
Okay, wait. This is really important. Junior, got to come up because people need to hear this. I mean, this is so... Because he's speaking life, but he almost loses his job for speaking life. I mean, this is so important for... The what is it called? World Wide Web people.
Well,
to hear.
And plus Phyllis would probably like to hear it too.
Okay, yes. Sorry. Normally, I'm told I'm really loud. I really meant it when he's my guy. Like I used to talk with him. I used to hang out on my lunch breaks with him. Like one day he came up to me and he seemed a little off, but he always shook my hand, gave me a little hug, and I was like, "Are you okay?" He was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And through the grapevine, I eventually heard it. I was like, oh, okay.
Heard what?
I heard that his boss, Securitas, who he works for, received a couple complaints from a few customers at that store that they were offended that he was pushing religion onto them.
Same.
Yeah. Store. So as you leave, you'll hear him, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. He doesn't limit himself. He doesn't censor himself. He can't. I told him, I said, well, God bless you. You know, cool. I've always liked it. When her and I go shopping up there, we see him. I'll talk with him. God bless you. God bless you. And we leave.
Yeah.
He almost lost his job until one customer stood up for him. We weren't technically supposed to say anything for them on their behalf. We're not allowed to. As we worked there, we were not allowed to get involved with other companies that do work there.
Mm-hmm.
So a customer stood up for him, called his boss standing right next to him with our managers right there, and said they will file a civil lawsuit against that company if they fire him.
Wow.
Yay.
Yeah. So one he's customer. Now at the new Walmart saying, God bless you. If you need a blessing,
yeah, you
now
need
you
a
know
blessing.
Where to go.
But see, this man is, he's speaking life.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. And we have the opportunity to do the same thing. Just saying.
Yep. We have the opportunity to love people and encourage them and to build them up instead of tear them down.
Yes.
Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray that as any of us have been challenged, Lord, with the words that we speak, Lord, if we've been speaking words that are not pleasing, Lord, to you and that tear down others, Lord, I pray that you would just give us, Lord, as David said, a guard for our lips. Lord, that you would allow, Lord, you to be the one that governs what proceeds from our mouth. And Lord, I pray that there is no condemnation in you, Lord. So I pray that we would realize that we are a work in progress and we're growing. But let us be obedient to the Holy Spirit when we're challenged of when to say something and when not to say something. And let us not be ones that let sewage come out of our mouths, Lord, but let springs of life, Lord, come out that refresh others and build up others and encourage others. And Father, I pray, I speak a blessing, Lord, over everyone here, over everyone that's hearing my voice. I speak life and I speak restoration. I speak, Lord, an empowerment, supernatural empowerment, Lord, to serve you and to live for you and to know you. Lord, I pray for a blessing. I speak a blessing over their jobs, over their households and their families. Lord, I just release, Lord, your glory over their households, Lord, so that they are not anything that looks like the world, Lord, but they are. The battery went dead. So that we don't look anything, Lord, like the world, but they look, Lord, like your kingdom. They look like heaven. And we just thank you for that now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Made it almost all the way through. Praise the Lord. Well, we have waffles. And Christine and Joe are going to pray for anyone that needs prayer up here. I know that Hopi, you need prayer, and so we're going to believe for supernatural healing. Anyone else? And over here again, help yourself to waffles and what? Oh, okay, gotcha. And so anything else that anyone needs to communicate? No, we're good. Oh, Herman?
When Pastor said that the Holy Spirit can control the tongue, I started thinking for a minute how true that is. And when I have an unrighteous thought brewing in my head, I can't correct it with the thought of righteousness. I have to speak it to myself, so my tongue has to prophesy and speak truth. So that is very, very truthful. That song, I Am a Child of God, I sing that to myself a lot when I sense that I'm going in a direction that I shouldn't be. So,
amen.
Yeah, the
amen.
Tongue is very powerful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right, love you all. God bless. Have a great day.